You're in the mix in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
I'm in production, doing a remix. Worldwide Enigma making platinum hits. New wine coming, get some of this. Stand and give God the praise.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life.
You thought I was the devil. Christians today, if they will admit it, they will tell you that Satan has stolen one thing or the other from them. You may even know of someone that used to sing their favorite song, but for some reason or another, they don't sing it anymore. Well, I would suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their song. You may know of someone that used to shout and dance all over the church. No longer do they shout and dance anymore. I would suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their shout, their dance, and maybe even their joy. But I want somebody that's under the sound of my voice, somebody that has experienced the thievery of Satan, to know that I'm serving notice to the devil today, that we're on our way down to his camp, and we're not just taking back one or two things, we're not just taking back some of the things, but we're taking back everything that is stole from us. And I want Satan to know something. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back my song,
my
day,
my
joy,
my joy,
and my peace. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole from me.
The People's Station.
We live in a time of crisis. Man have so many problems contend with, till it have become fatal to his direction, church. Man is confused today. Man is at a standstill. Bible speaks of these times, war and rumors of war. The man becomes so confused until he takes his own life. There was a rich man that was contemplating death. He was standing in an open window on the 8th floor. Oh Lord, before he jumped, he looked down and saw a ragged man saying and eating out of a garbage can. He said, well, before I take my life, I'm gonna go down and talk to him. The rich man made his way downstairs.
Happy with Jesus.
very best in contemporary music. Traditional music.
And you hope they're going to be with you always. But when you get in trouble, you can't find them. It's part of the process. Because God trying to cut folk that always pulling from you but never give back to you.
It's all live right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina.
We're social. Check us out on Facebook.
You're listening to
The Anointed One, and you can catch the wave right here at NFIRadio.com. Now, let's get back with more great gospel music. You are catching the wave.
I've been saved and sanctified. see you clap your hands, cause you know you're proud. Glory. Good God Almighty. I have seen in my for one shoot in my love. Good God, am I?
a look at me. Take a look at me.
We're not magicians. We just put magic into our music.
Patiently wait.
I kept on walking, I kept on praying, had to walk, take a step, had to come. I had to train, had to pray. I made it. I'm saved. The Holy Ghost said, if you make it, you make it.
Okay, here we go. Prank phone call.
Hey, we got, you know, we're going to try to do something for, you know, like Lil Darryl.
Okay, Lil Darryl.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Here we go. We're going to call. I'm going to go ahead and dial a number now.
Okay.
Hello?
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How you doing? I'm looking for Sister Tanya.
This is Sister Tanya.
Sister Tanya, this is Brother Fuller from the church. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, Brother Fuller. How are you?
I'm good. We wanted to give you a call about the praise dancing that's at the church. First of all, I wanted to really show you how much you're doing a great job over there with the praise dancers, and you definitely do a great job on every third Sunday that you guys actually perform. Everybody seems to really like it.
Well, thank you, thank you. What can I do for you today?
There is a bit of a situation with, you know, it's been brought to our attention. We actually had a small gathering, a little meeting about it, and wanted to, I've been elected to actually give you a call.
And who is this again? I'm sorry. Who are you again?
Brother Fuller.
Uh-huh. And who had a meeting?
Some of the brothers at the church pastor actually sat in for a moment on it, and I was actually elected to actually just give you a call. It, nothing that I don't think we can't get rectified and, you know, move on smoothly as we normally do. But I just think it's we wanted to reach out to you and kind of make you aware of it if you don't mind.
Okay. And what things are those?
Well, Sister Tanya, has any of the praise dancers, before they became praise dancers, was any of them strippers?
I beg your pardon?
Was any of the praise dancers that at the church that you have on the praise team right now, was any of them strippers in the past?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't really know who you are. And I don't really understand this line of questioning.
Well, like I said, I'm Brother Fuller. I don't think we've met, but I've been elected to give you a call. Now it seems like what happened is this past week when you all actually danced, it seemed like a couple of the girls,
they were dancing for the Lord.
Well,
I think if you look through your Lord's eye, perhaps you would see them better.
Some of these girls, a couple of these girls, we can point them out. A couple of them have strip girl tendencies, evidently.
You know what, sir? I think we need to complete this call. Perhaps I need to call Bishop and speak to him myself because, you know, I don't know what you do all day, but I have a real job, and I'm sitting here holding a conversation in my office about in the church. Are you kidding me?
Ma'am, listen. Now, here's a couple other things that they're talking about. Some of the girls' feet are real ashy when you all are performing, and they want to see if maybe you can. I don't know if y'all need the grip or whatever that y'all don't put lotion on. We're not sure what that is. As well as the toenail polish. Everybody has 3, 4, 5 different designs and everything. Is it any way y'all can be in unison with your toenail polish? But
I don't know what your feet look like. I don't need you calling me, talking to me about my girls, their feet, their nail polish. Perhaps your mind should be on Jesus instead of on them. How about that? I don't have time.
I don't know what your problem is. It's hard for my mind to be on Jesus when somebody's shaking their butt at the church. Now, that's the problem.
Hey, you know what? Look, I'm at work. Now, I'm trying to keep a work tone. You're going to make me curse up here. Now, let me tell you something. Don't call me anymore. I will deal with Pastor. If he has something to say with me, he can say it to me personally. But I'm done with this conversation in life. Now, my mind is set on Jesus. I don't know what your mind is set on.
Well, Sister Tanya, before you was a praise dance ministry, over the ministry, did you ever used to strip?
No, I didn't do no stripping. Now, did your wife do any stripping?
What?
Did your mama do any stripping?
Wait a minute, man.
You heard what I said. How you like it if somebody called you and asked you if your mama did some stripping? How you like that? I got
you know what I want to know? When is the next rehearsal? That way I can come and pick out who.
You don't have any business at my rehearsal. I don't want to see you at my rehearsal. I don't want to see any parts of you in my rehearsal. If I see you near one of my girls, I swear I'm coming after you myself. Do you understand me? You need to stay your butt in your own house.
And I'm glad y'all ain't dancing when the plate is being passed, because ain't no telling how you act with them wands coming through that.
You know what? That's it. You call me disrespecting me, I'm at work. I can't even handle this no more. You know what? Don't call me no more. Don't look at my girls no more. Matter of fact, come near the church and see what I got for you.
Who do you think you're talking to like that? You're supposed to be a minister.
I'm done listening to you. Now I'm getting ready to go.
Well, I got one more thing to say to you before you leave.
Now, I said I was done.
And I said I got one more thing to say. Is you listen?
You know what, man? Get off my phone.
I'm going to say it anyway. Your entire praise ministry congregation, all your girls, got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, I'm a cutie. For real? Ooh. Which one was it? Ooh. Oh, you know what?
It was all of them. I talked about 5 of them.
Now I got some explaining to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
You did good, though. You did real. You hung in there.
Oh, wait till I talk to Bishop.
You might want to call Bishop and help.
Oh, I think I'm going to have it.
Hey, I got one thing to ask you, Tanya. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
WNFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
All right. Come on, put your hands together. Let's go on and do it like we used to do it. Here we go. Get it with you. Let's go.
thing I want you to know, young man. You know what that is? That's a blessing.
There's a blessing.
It's you.
For you.
I kept on telling him that. There's a blessing. Good God Almighty.
I'ma keep this thing clear, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Welcome to the Power of Prayer, Request Hotline 2024. Intercessory Prayer Warriors. Men and women of God. Praying for you. Heard Monday through Thursday, at 12:30 p.m. till 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Feel free to call in at any time at 984-733-3977. For one of our prayer warriors to pray with you, on our 24-hour hotline. To listen now, by phone at 12:30 p.m. Call 563-999-3020. Again to listen now, call 563-999-3020 or go to our website at nfiradio.com. Now let's join Reverend Frances Holloway as she intercedes for you and this nation. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, NFI Power of Prayer faithful listeners. Thank you for joining us on this thankful Thursday. I thank God for the opportunity to come to you again on this Thursday, and just expound on the Word of God for encouragement. If you're tuning in for the very first time, welcome. I am Reverend Frances Good Holloway, and I speak God's blessing over you and your family. I thank God for our overseer, Pastor Sterling Kern, and whom God has blessed with this platform for us to come Monday through Thursday to pray for you and the nation. But before I pray, God has given me a short message of encouragement to share with you. And of course, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I do know that because of his mercy, God always sends his word to comfort us by letting us know that he hears and answers our every cry. Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, you all, because his compassion fail not. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If we look at that, this scripture reminds us that the future is bright for those who place their hope and trust in the Lord Almighty, because his mercies are new every morning. And I wanted to title this message today, God's Chosen People, the Israelites Finally Remembered. Because Psalm 131 said, "They by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." See, the psalm is a Hebrew poem that describes the captive mourning by the rivers of Babylon. They were mocked by their captors. And it expresses a vow to remember Jerusalem when the Israelites were in exile during the Babylonian captivity. See, remember, Babylon became a powerful city and later the capital city. The Bible describes the city as a symbol of sin and rebellion, a place where the Israelites were exiled to. So how, and they were sitting there thinking about what they had, and this is what they were saying, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were in captivity. They said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my own self, my own joys. See, while in captivity, the Jews wept by the river of Babylon because of their sorrow. They could not bear to sing a song of Zion, for their hearts yearned to be back in their land of promise and in their holy city. See, sometimes we don't think about how good life is until it is tested and we lose it. But it said, well, how could they go back, though? They were captive to the powerful nation of Babylon. The Lord had not forgotten about them, though. Although he allowed Babylon to capture them and to hold them captive, he had not forgotten about them, because it said, yet the Lord rules in the heavens and watches over his chosen people. He will provide a way for the faith of Judah to return to Jerusalem and also rebuild the temple and the city after 70 years of captivity. You see, God loves us, but he is not going to tolerate sin, not even from his chosen one. See, the Lord had foreordained already a person to make it possible for them to return, for the Jews to return back home. But this person was not of the house of Israel, as I was studying this. But the Lord nonetheless had chosen him before he was born to bless the house of Israel. And his name was Cyprus, known in our history as we know him as Cyprus the Great. So we go to Psalm 85. That's where God took me the other morning. I woke up and he had me to read Psalm 85. And this is where this message is built from. Psalm 85 is where you find the prayer of thanksgiving of the Israel after being delivered from Babylon. Because the title is Then I Remember. See, there are times when we as Christians let down our guards and keep on going, being busy, even in church and even in community, and not seeking God as to what we need to do next. We lose our focus and start to look more like the world than the church. And God leaves us and they leave out God completely. And that's when the enemy comes in like a flood and capture your attention and speak into your ear, you need more. Look at all that you are doing. Show the people that you are blessed because you have all these degrees and cars and houses, lots of money in the bank. Then you begin to kind of weave in with the people, and they can't separate the godly ones from the world. But then people begin to exalt you and think that if I get the pastor to pray for me and give money, then I will be blessed. And then you end up losing that person that God has called, end up losing everything because that person took their eyes off of the true and living God, who will not withhold any good thing from you if we will walk upright. Because Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. See, the scripture is a reminder that human efforts are futile without God's blessing. The verse highlights that God is in control of all people and events, and that success comes from him. So they continue to remember what God had done for them as they sat there. They said, Lord, you poured out blessings on your land. You restored the fortune of Israel. Because Ezra 1:6 said, the Lord saw to it that the exiles did not return empty-handed, neither did the children of Israel at that time of the exodus from Egypt. Precious items were collected to be used in the temple as the Lord had specified. And that Cyprus would allow such wealth to be gathered for the temple is an indication of how seriously he viewed the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. And in Ezra 1, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, all the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All of these the Shebazai brought up from Babylon and returned to Jerusalem. See, the vessels were total about 5,400, which were 2,499 were listed in Ezra chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, that I didn't list all of them right now. But we know that that was the largest portion of most of them. But then verse 2 in 85 verse 2 says, you forgave the guilt of your people. Yes, you cover all their sins. Verse 3 says, you held back your fury. You kept back your blades in anger. He said, but verse 4 is what I've zoomed in on. He said, now restore us again, O God, our salvation. See, the psalmist is crying out for God's restoration. The request to restore us again shows that the people have experienced God's mercy before and are seeking it once more. They recognize God as their Savior, the only one who can turn their situation around. Because they said also in Psalm 85, put aside your anger against us once more, God. Verse 5 said, will you be angry with us always? Will you prolong your wrath to all generations? Because they had sinned before God, and so God had them chastised by the enemy. But then they are back now, and they said in verse 6, won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? Verse 7 says, show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. See, this is a prayer for God to forgive the people's sin and bring them back into fellowship with him. The verse expresses a desire for transformative encounter with God, a turning away from sin, and a renewal of faith. It also illustrates the interplay between sin, judgment, and the hope of restoration. And every time we find ourselves straying away from God, there needs to be a turning back to God. And see, verse 8 said, I listen carefully to what God, the Lord, is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. See, when we have turned away from God, even those who've been saved for years and been preaching and teaching for years and get caught up in the world somehow and be, you know, stray away from the true and living God, we need to not turn back to our foolishness once he has engrafted us back in. Surely, verse 9 says, his salvation is near to those who fear him, so our land will be filled with his glory. And verse 10 says, unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. See, these verses are about God's faithfulness and peace in a community. See, Psalm 85:9 promises that salvation is close to those who fear God. And verse 10 indicates that it describes the blending of virtues that creates a thriving community where justice and mercy coexist. The imagery of kissing each other is similar to two friends greeting each other after a long separation. But then verse 11, truth springs up from the earth and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Verse 12 says, yes, the Lord pulls down his blessing. He pours down his blessing. Our land will its bountiful harvest. And verse 13 said, righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his step. See, from this petition, we learned that the occasion of this psalm was a time of national humiliation. Because of what God's chosen people had done, they were captured by the enemy, the Babylon. So this petition is preceded by a remembrance of the Lord's past favor. You see, Psalm 85 is a prayer for revival and restoration. It's thoughts that have been written after the Jews returned from captivity in Babylon and when they were still experiencing God's displeasure. But the psalm encourages us as believers that emotional and spiritual renewal is possible when they return to God's way. Remember, God loves you and he wants you to experience peace and eternal life abundantly. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for the word that you have brought forth, Lord God, today. Help us to examine our hearts to see if there are any wicked ways in us that will draw us away from you, Father God, as the Israelites were drawn into captivity with the Babylon. For your word says in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God. We have peace with you, Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Father, your word says there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in a way of death if we not continue in your word, Father God. You said in your word that you would show us great and mighty things and that you, Father God, raise up a standard against Satan. But if we travel over into Satan's territory, he has the right to do whatever he wants to. But God, you said that we need to stay focused, tunnel vision in you. Because Isaiah 59:19 signifies God's power to protect and deliver us even in the face of great adversity if we are walking according to God's word. It warns us that the enemy will come in like a flood, but the Lord said he will raise up a standard against him, which means that when significant challenges or troubles arises in our lives, seemingly overflowing like a flood, that God will actively intervene and provide a strong defense that's symbolized by a raised standard to counteract the enemy's forces, because the enemy is not greater than our God. Isaiah 59 also signifies God's power to protect and deliver his people even in the face of great adversity. See, the flood represents a powerful, overwhelming force that seems unstoppable, but nothing is unstoppable for our God, for he is God over everything. The creation cannot be greater than our God, and Father, we thank you for that. Because Isaiah 59:2, Father, reminds us that what separates us from God, for Lord, your word said, but your iniquities have become a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So we tie our own hands. God doesn't do it. Father, we thank you that you remind us, Father God, that there is one God and there is one mediator between you, God, and men, and the man Christ Jesus, according to 1 Timothy 2:5. Lord, your word said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he will be with me. Revelation 3:20. God desires, Lord God, you desire that we all be saved, that we not perish, Lord God, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Lord, you said, but all who did receive you, who believed in your name, that you give the right to become children of God, according to John 1:12. And so I ask this morning, will you receive Jesus right now? What if you have become lukewarm in your walk with God and you are trying to rebuild that fire that you once had? You can also be restored. If you are sick in your body, Father God, you said, come. Whosoever will, come. Jesus, you are our healer. And Jesus said that he will not withhold any good thing from us, that he heals the broken heart. There are some people out there that may have a broken heart. There are people in the valley of decision, don't know which way to go. Even with this election, somebody's out there continuously wondering why or whatever. But God knows everything. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees the end to the beginning. So do not stress, strain, or struggle. God said, trust him with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. And Father God, we ask you to forgive us if we'll continue, Lord God, to try to figure this out ourselves. We ask you, Father God, that you will impart your word to each one of us as we study to show ourselves approved unto you, and let us know that you are in control. No one can take the control from you, Father God. You already said, Lord, in your word, Jeremiah 29:11, that you have a plan for us, plan of good and not of evil, to give us an estate to end. Father God, we said thank you. We said thank you for the plan that nobody can take from us. The plans that you give us are for us individually and to come together collectively and lift up your name, Father God, that your name will be above everyone and everything, because the creation cannot be greater than the Creator. And God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. So we come offering up thanksgiving that you have called us to be fellow workmen, God, a joint promoter and a neighbor together. So, Lord, you said where two or three gather together in your name, thinking on the same thing, our minds, Lord, towards you, that you will command the blessing, Father God. So fearlessly and confidently and boldly, Father God, we draw near to the throne of grace this day that we may receive your mercy and find grace to help us in time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it, Father. And this is the confidence, Father God, that we have in you, that if you said if we ask anything according to your will, Father, you said you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, Father God, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have that petition that we desire of you. And Father God, we just know that your word says that prayer is the answer, that you call upon, that we can call upon you day and night. That we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. And he, the Holy Spirit, Father God, thank you, goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. And he who searches the heart of men, Father God, knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercede and pleads for us in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Father, we thank you for your will. Let your will be done in our lives this day, Father God. If that is a will to be delivered from sin, let your will be done. If that will is, Father God, to live a righteous life, Father God, and stop allowing the enemy to draw our attention away from you, let your will be done. If your will, Father God, is for us praying for our children that are gone astray, Father God, let your will be done in our lives. Help us to continue to call upon you, Father God, for you have the answer to every question that we have. You have the answer to every concern, Father God, because we are your children, and you love us with an everlasting love. So, Father God, help us, Lord God, if we travel the road that the Israelites, where they were captured by the Babylonians, Father God, help us to read and realize, God, the things that were written before time was written for our learning, that we may have hope, that we not fall into that same trap, Father God. And, Lord, we come there lifting up the world, Lord, the government, Father God, for things are going astray, Father God. But we are not. We are not worried. We are not concerned, because you have the whole world in your hand, Father God, and you know what is going on. Help us to turn that TV off and get more in your word and see where you are taking us in your word, even in the midst of confusion, even in the midst of chaos. Stay in the word of God, Lord. Draw us by your word. Give us that thirst and hunger for your word, Father God, that your word is life to those that find it, help to all our flesh. I thank God for the healing power that only you have, Father God. and anyone sick among us, Father, touch their minds, touch their hearts, draw them by your spirit, Father God, realizing, Father God, that you said in Psalm 107:20, that you will deliver us from all destruction, Father God. Nothing can hinder us, Father God, as we continue to draw closer to you day and night, because we are covered in the blood of your precious Son, Jesus. And when the enemy sees the blood, he has to flee. Even if the enemy is attacking your body, your children, or whomever at this very moment, you can cry out to the loving and merciful God and say, God, I don't receive from the enemy, but I receive the virtue of your healing power in my body even now. Speak to your body according to what the word is saying. So the word of God said, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Goodness and mercy follow us, not sickness, not death. Goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for life. Thank you for watching over your word to perform it in our lives, Lord. But one thing I often say, in order for God to watch over his word to perform it in your life, you have to have your word in his heart. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God in the word of God, and he will bring back what he says in his word. He will watch over his word in you to perform it. And you cannot fake it to make it. So, Father, we just said thank you so much for this time together. Thank you so much for those who have tuned in. And I ask your special blessing over each one of the people that are tuned in today and their families, Father God. And Lord, we always lift up the children, because you said children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is our reward. So we pray your hedge of protection over our children, Father God. Because you said the blessings of the Lord make us rich and add no sorrow. We thank you, we praise you, and we commit this day. We commit this lesson to you. You said that we commit to you, you will keep it, Lord, until that appointed time. We bless you. We call everyone under my voice. Bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next time.
Love will conquer all. There is love. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Barbara Watson coming to you from Lewisburg, North Carolina, Christian Life Church of God, Inc., along with
Pastor Gladys Smith. We invite you to join us on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 10 o'clock a.m. and on Thursdays from 1 o'clock to 1:30 p.m. where we teach the Word of God and we enjoy the Word of God. Join us.
Get the way.
Welcome back to the program. Now let's join Pastor Gladys Smith and Apostle Barbara Watkins of the Christian Life Church located at 6762 Highway 56 West, Franklinton, North Carolina. Now here is Pastor Gladys Smith.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We tell God thank you, yes I do, for another brand new day that he has made. I tell God thank you, yes I do. Because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I tell God thank you because he is the healer, the redeemer, the everything that we need him to be. You might not need what I need, and she or he might not need what you and I need. But one thing that I do know is that the true and living God, it's the God that will provide. He is the God that keeps us. He is the God that loved us so much that he sent his only son. And I thank God for that. I find that as you grow in wisdom and you get a relationship with God and you serve God with your whole heart, that's when you know where the wisdom comes from. He tell us in his word, if we lack wisdom, ask him. And when it comes from God, I tell God, thank you. I thank God for this brand new day. I thank God for all that he is doing. I thank God for loving us so much that he has angels encamped round about us. Father God, we thank you. We praise you and we glorify you. Father God, I thank you for this brand new day. Father God, as I come to you, I tell you thank you for watching over me last night. I thank you for watching over the whole world, whether it was night, whether it was day, God. I tell you thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, in your son Jesus' name, I thank you for being our healer. I thank you for being the miracle worker. Father God, I thank you for being the regulator in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, as I come right now, I ask you to touch throughout the land, God. Oh, Father God, I ask that you let your will be done, God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you move in the name of Jesus. I know that you see things, dear God. I ask that you cover with your blood in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, touch right now, God, those that are in pain, God. Oh, Father God, I ask that you move according to your will and your way in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, in your son Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you. I glorify you just for being God. Father God, I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise for all that you are doing. Father God, for it's in your son Jesus' name that I ask, trusting and believing you. Amen, amen, amen. Again, I tell God thank you for being the Almighty God. I thank him for being Yahweh. I thank him for being Alpha and Omega. Oh, I tell God, thank you for being the God that saw what we needed. And he pulled us out of sin because he loved us when we made up our minds and our hearts was made up. See, the heart and the mind work together. God's will was done, and I tell you, God, thank you. I thank God for this opportunity to come back one more time. It's a clear indicator that he has not called me home. And if you are listening, he has not called you home. We are still among the living, and I tell you, God, thank you. At Christian Life, we have worship service every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. And prior to morning worship, we have Sunday school. We invite you, at the Lord lead and guide you, to come out and go and worship with us. On Tuesday nights, we have Bible study where we teach the Word of God, and we invite you to come and go in the Word with us. On third Tuesday nights, we don't have Bible study, but I encourage you to go in the Word wherever you are, because, see, it's the Word that keeps us. On third Tuesdays at 12 noon, we have noonday prayer. We invite you to come out and go in prayer with us, because one thing that I do know is that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I thank God for honoring our prayers when we come together. And I tell God, thank you. And we thank you for coming to join us on Tuesdays at 9:30 a.m. And we thank you for coming to join us on Thursdays at 1 o'clock p.m. I thank God for all that he is doing in our lives. And I want to encourage you to serve the true and living God with your whole heart, with your mind as well. I tell God, thank you. As we come back on today, we're going to still be talking about applying the Bible to your life. And we've already established that the Bible is the Word of God. And I tell God, thank you. When we apply the Word to our lives, you're going to find that you live a life that is better than it was when you were in sin. You find that your mind change and your heart change when you live and you apply the Word, the Bible, to your life. You're going to find that when you apply that Word, you apply the Bible to your life, you find that you obey God and you don't sin. No, none of us are perfect. Purpose in your heart and your mind that you will do the will of God. You find that when you apply the Bible, and you're going to find that in order to apply it, you read it. Yeah, you do. And that as you read it and apply the Bible to your life, the Word, you become aware and you guard yourself of false teaching and false teachers. You got to be very careful of what you listen to. You got to be very careful of what you receive. I tell God, thank you, that as you read the Bible and you apply that Word to your life, you're going to find that you spend time with your Lord. I spend time with my Lord and my Savior. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's what I call my God time, when I sit and I talk to him, when I sit and I want him to give me answers and listen to what he is saying. You're going to find that as you apply the Bible, as you apply that Word to your life, that it will convict you of the sins that we do. And I tell God, thank you. If you find that the Word of God isn't convicting you, because when it convicts you, it makes you turn unto him. It makes you want to do his Word even the more. And I tell God, thank you. When you apply the Bible, the Word, to your life, and you read that Word, you find that you begin to know more about God's Son Jesus. Yes, you do. You find out why he went on the cross for us. Yes, you do. you find that the gospel, the word of God, tells you all about him, tells you about God's servants that came and honored his word, those servants that came and did his word. Y'all remember Paul, who was Saul. He was on his way to Damascus to get a letter to harm God's people. But guess who he met on the way there? And God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And I tell God, thank you. If God can change Paul, who was Saul, don't you know he can come in and change your life? I tell God, thank you. And you're going to find that as he changes your life, you apply that word to your life, you're going to find that you want more and more of him. And I tell God, thank you. When you apply the word to your life, you find that you start out by reading that word. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. When we talk about the word, it is God's revelation word. It's what it can be that he gives to his people. And I tell God, thank you. When we look at that word and we read that word blesses us. That word gives us strength. If we look at Matthew 4:4, the word of God said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I thank God for his word. While we can have physical food, but it's that spiritual food that we need that gets us from point A to point B and C us to the end. I tell God, thank you for the word, because when I look at the word, I look at the word as of God as being meat. You know, when we are young, we drink milk. But as we grow in our physical life, we go from milk and we go unto hard food, unto meat and vegetables. But I tell God, thank you, that as we grow in him and we read that word and we apply that word to our life, God's word, you're going to find that we're going to follow God's directions. You find that we're going to know what his purposes are for us. You're going to know what his will is for us and what his plan is for us. And I tell God, thank you. We already know that God's word came through his son, Jesus. And I tell God, thank you. What you talking about, Gladys? John 1:1 say, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I thank God for the word, his son Jesus being the word, and he came to earth in human form, even though he was in the beginning. I thank God for his son Jesus being the word. He was the perfect example for us to live by. And you're going to find that as you study the word of God, and you apply that word to your life, you're going to find that you don't just read it. But if we look at James 1:22, the word of God tells us, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We put that word in action. We don't just listen to it, but we are doers of the word. You're going to find that as you become a doer of the word and you apply that word to your life, I tell God thank you for the word. As we look at Psalms 119, verse 11, you're going to find that as you become a doer of the word, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I tell God, thank you, as we hide that word in our hearts and we live the word of God. I tell God, thank you, you're not just a reader. Yes, you have to read it in order to know what it's saying. But I tell God, thank you, that when you hide that word in your heart and you live that word, I thank God for the word, because there are days you're going to find that when you're going through different trials and tests, that you have to speak that word to yourself. There are days, have you ever had, where you felt like you were all alone, that you didn't have nobody. You couldn't have that physical Bible right there in your hands. But you go and you speak that word that you have read and learned. Well, you tell yourself, Lord, you said you would never, ever leave me or forsake me. And when he said, I would never, ever leave you or forsake you, that lets me know that he is always there with us. And I tell God, thank you. You're going to find that when you hide that word in your heart, and you look at John 1 and 1 and it say, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. As you hide that word in your heart, you know right then that he did not leave you, that he will not forsake you. Might not be no other man or woman around. But one thing that I do know is that Jesus is always there. And as you hide the word in your heart, you're going to find that you study the word. You're going to find that you memorize that word. You're going to find that you meditate on that word that you have read. I tell God, thank you, that as you do all four of those, you're going to find that you apply that word to your life. Let's look at studying the word. When we study the word, yes, it does involve reading the word. I tell God, thank you, that when you study God's word, that you devote time to reading and applying that word. You pay attention to that word that you are reading. And as you read that word and you study that word, you find that you gain knowledge of that word. You find that you look and you see something that can help you. As you study the word of God, you're going to find that as you study, that you love to feast on that word. You ever started reading a chapter and you said, well, maybe you said, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And as you begin to read, you get to verse 10, but you keep on going. You read verse 11. You read verse 12, wherever you go. And that as you read and study that word, you're going to find that it may lead you to another verse. And you go and check that verse out. And you're going to find that verse gives you more understanding. And as you read that verse, You find your strength and your help coming on from the Lord. And I tell God, thank you, that when you study the word of God, it blesses when you study the word of God. And you keep right on moving in the word. You're going to find that there are days that it's almost impossible to quit reading the word. And that's a good thing, because you gain strength, not physical strength all the time, but I need spiritual strength that comes from our Heavenly Father. And if you are a child of God, you're going to find that when you do read that word and you apply that word to your life, that you gain strength, you gain wisdom, and you gain knowledge. You're going to find that you love that word. If we look at Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, the word of God says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. I tell God thank you. As we look at the word, there may be those that can't take the word. Remember when we were babes, we didn't have teeth. We had a small stomach, and they gave us milk because we didn't have teeth to chew the word. But we find that as we grow in our physical body, we get teeth and we can begin to eat physical food. That's the same way it is with the word of God. If you haven't been able to apply that word to your life, and you are not living that word each and every day of your life, you're going to find that you are still a babe. You ever been given a word from a prophet, and that prophet said, God said, step away from. And as you heard that prophecy, you begin to get an attitude, because the prophet came from God. And God says, step away. Whatever the prophecy is, you didn't like it. And that's a clear indicator that you're still a baby, that you are not on meat yet, that you are not really standing on the word of God. But as you grow in the word of God, you can stand on the word. The word will come and chastise you sometime. Yes, it will. The word of God will convict you sometime and let you know you're walking in sin. And sin is not of God. Sin is of Satan. And if we are men and women of God, we're going to repent and ask God to forgive us for walking in sin. And we're going to turn from it and turn unto God. I tell God, thank you. But when you stand on the word of God, that's meat for you. When it say a full age, it ain't talking about you old and outdated. But it let us know that we have wisdom, full age, that word have helped us to grow in God. That's one thing that I do know that when you read the word and you apply the word to your life, you're going to find that you grow in God. You're going to find that when you study the word, that no, I ain't a baby no more. I find that as I have aged, I don't remember when I was born, but I remember things that happened through my life. And now that I'm 70 years old, I tell God thank you that I know, that I know, that I know who Jesus is. And that comes with studying the word. That comes with standing on the word of God. That comes from not compromising anymore, but serving the true and living God. When you study the word of God and you live that word, you're going to find that you will love God with your whole heart. You're going to find that when you live the word of God, which is the Bible, you're going to know that when you apply that word to your life, that you will stand on the word. When you apply the word to your life, you're going to find that you believe what the word says. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You don't lean to your own understanding anymore, but you apply that word. And you believe what the words say. And so I've already told you that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I thank God for the Word. As you study the Word and you live the Word, you're going to find that the word is truth, and I haven't found a lie in the word. If I read something that I don't understand, I ask God to give me an understanding of his word. I thank God for his word. You're going to find that as you live the word, and you applying that word, which is the Bible, to your life, you're going to find that that word will give you daily life exposure. You're going to find that that word will let you know what your worth, your self-worth is. You don't have to look at nobody else, but look at who you are. You're going to find that as you live the word, that you pray about the word that you have read, you're going to find that you go to God in prayer and you ask him to lead and to guide you. As you live the word, it ain't a Sunday life. It's not a Bible study life, but it's an everyday life. I tell God thank you that as you read the word and you live that word, which is the Bible, yes, you're going to apply it to your life every day, not some days. When you live the word of God, you're going to find that your life will line up with what the Bible says. You turn from your sin and you turn unto God. You're going to find that you become a new creature in him. You're going to find that you no longer sin. You're going to find that you stand on the word. You're going to find that as you are standing on the word and reading the word and studying the word, that you're going to hide that word in your heart. And as you hide that word in your heart, you find that you grow in him. You're going to find that you can rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. I can't rebuke him in Gladys's name, but in the name of Jesus, yes, I can rebuke him. You're going to find that as you live the word and you apply the Bible to the life that you live each and every day, you're going to find that you won't compromise. You will stand on the word. I don't care who it is, mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, wife. You won't compromise when you apply that word to your life. When we come back, God's willing, we're going to be talking about why it's important to memorize the word of God. It is important. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I want to encourage you to accept God as your Lord and Savior, because in order to have eternal life in heaven, you got to apply that word, the word of God, to your life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Pastor Gladys Smith along with Apostle Barbara Watkins of the Christian Life Church located at 6762 Highway 56 West, Franklinton, North Carolina. Be sure to join them every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. and on Thursdays, 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m.
How to live holy. I've learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer for
of December, and all six of my sisters and brothers were coming in out of the dark. My mama was standing there looking at us to make sure all of us was in. She went over and sit in a corner to herself. My oldest brother went over and asked her, said, Mama, what's wrong? She reached up and wrapped her arms around him, and the chills came screaming down. Younger sisters and brother went over and asked them, Mama, if Santa Claus coming tonight? She looked at him and said these words. She said, I got one pack of dry beans in the cabinet and a small piece of fat back in the refrigerator. She said, that little welfare check is gone. Daddy ain't nowhere to be found. She said, just go to bed. She said, She said, just go to bed. So we went to bed, and we were fast asleep. About 1 o'clock, Mama came into the room. Her voice was just like Christmas time. She said, get up, son, it's a miracle. She said, come on, go with me to the door. So I got up and went with her to the door. When I got to the door, there was a station wagon full of food and tar. Mama was jumping straight up and down, saying, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Then she fell down on her knees, and she began to moan. She said, you know when you moan, the devil don't know what you're talking about. She said, but all you got to do is have a little faith about the size of a mustard seed. She said, it may not come when you want it, but if you keep right on trusting in it, God knows he'd be right on time. And she said, I wanna
thank you, Lord.
She kept right on saying,
I thank you, Lord.
You've been so good to me.
Thank you, Lord.
You made a way for me.
Thank you, Lord.
And she said, I wanna
thank you, Lord.
She kept right on saying, I
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
She kept right on saying, I
thank you, Lord.
And she said,
talk to him again.
it was you, Lord, that spoke to the wind and the water. Turn out to the window of the night. And now it was you, Jesus, that calmed the rage in the sea. Ready to come back.
Something hot you want, then it's something hot you'll get.
Each generation is wiser. And it also says, each generation is weaker. I find that to be true today. I find that to be very true. Listen.
what you do. And if you can't stand being pushed around, keep on living. That's what you do. And if you think you should never have to cry, never ever moan, or never have to sigh, no pain,
no pain,
no gain, no gain, no gain, no pain,
no
pain, no gain, no gain,
no
one more thing, one more thing. If you think you should never be burdened down, keep on living. That's what you got to do now. If you think you're never gonna feel pain, keep on living. That's what you gotta do. And if you feel you should always be in the sun, feel the rain. Remember, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain,
no
pain. No, no, no gain, no gain, no gain. I don't mean to bother you, but remember, no pain,
no pain.
No gain, no gain, no gain,
no
gain. No.
Creature unique in the song that it sings. shook, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who sees lightning bolt and tell them where they should go? Bring us the fullness of night. None can fathom indescribable.
You see the depth of my heart and you immeasurable, unchangeable. You see the depth of our heart, and you love us the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. There's no one like you nowhere. You're so sweet to us. You're so loyal. You're so faithful. You should have given up on us, but you still love us, oh God. You are amazing, God. You've seen us messed up over and over again. Each and every individual, we've turned our backs to you. But you still love us the same. As if we were only born again. You loved us while we were in our mess and while we turned our back to you. That's why you are amazing, Dio. You're worthy, oh God. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. You are amazing. You're so good. The human mind could not think of words to express how good you are, how big you are. You are amazing, God. I'm going to sing it one more time. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depth of our heart, and you love us the same. You are amazing, God. Come on, put your hands together if you love them.
Got a request? Email us now.
But to those of them who endure.